Welcome to the That Healing Feeling podcast. I'm your host, Faith Ashenden, founder, CEO, and master mindset coach. I'm obsessed with helping you awake the healer within yourself so that you can step into a reality wilder than your wildest dreams. Join me in training your brain, rewiring your subconscious, and changing your inner world so that you can heal. Let's dive in. Hello, and welcome back to the That Healing Feeling podcast. Thank you so much for pushing play and for being here with me. I am so excited to be back recording for you guys. I took a bit of a break, as you know, but podcasting is like just the best for me. Like, I love connecting with you on this level. It very much feels like I'm having a conversation and we're just like sitting here over coffee chatting. Although actually I'm not drinking coffee right now. I'm drinking LMNT, which is a like mineral pack I use every single day. Like, I live and die by it. It's so good. Granted, I have to get it shipped from the States, but that's how much I love it. And no, this is not a marketing push. just a genuine share. No. I come to you very tired. I am in the midst of like navigating this new schedule of a 3-month-old and a 2-year-old, and it is really hard, I'm not gonna lie. The first couple of months were definitely hardest, and I'm grateful to be getting back into a routine, which very much includes going back to work out, which has been game-changing. But Leo started waking up again, which he never did. Like, he stopped that at 4 months, so this has been like really hard. So like last night, I think I was up like 6 times. So I'm really tired, but I'm also, I don't know. I'm feeling really inspired to like come on here right now and share these lessons that have come to me. And obviously this episode today is about, lessons being a mom has taught me about nervous system regulation, but I don't, you know, like this episode isn't just for moms by any means. I think, you know, it's for anyone who's interested in learning how to better regulate their nervous system for healing. I think that when you are a mother, it just really thrusts you into these realizations. And yeah, like, you know, being a mother too, especially, you just like threw me into the deep end. And I am such a reflective person. Like, I'm always reflecting, like, what does this mean? What does this mean? What does that mean? And so, throughout my motherhood journey, which has been in total about 2.5 years, my oldest is almost 2.5 and my littlest is 3 months, especially more recently with the second, I feel like I've just had like so many come to Jesus moments, like so many aha. And I've applied the wisdom so much through my updates in my program, and just like in my social media and all the tips I try to give out in, you know, all the different ways that I support people who are trying to heal. So I made like a mini list for you guys, to hopefully give you some tips that you can use. Like I said, whether or not you are a mom, it doesn't matter. These are relevant for literally anyone trying to regulate to heal. And these are just things that have like come to me as lessons. So hopefully I can like articulate myself now as much as I feel like it's articulated in my head, given the current state of affairs of my brain. No, but like all in all, like I feel good because obviously I just came back from a workout class and that is like one of the times that I feel my best. So I was like, do you know what? I'm going to channel this energy into a podcast, because I want, you know, I want to get the message out there. So I'm going to take a sip of my delicious LMNT and then we're going to dive right in, you guys. Number one of lessons of being a mom has taught me about nervous system regulation is that when it comes to communication, it is about the way you make people feel through your energy and your actions more than your words. Now, I feel like this has become really clear to me because in having young children, of course, like they have methods of communicating with you, right? Like when they're first born, they cry, they smile, like there are things that they do. And then as they get older, there are like more ways that they learn to communicate. But all in all, like their communication is a lot more limited than ours as adults. And I still feel like so connected to my children. Like from the beginning, I am super bonded. I am really into attachment parenting, and I want to be as, you know, connected to my children in every way possible. And that includes communicating to them intuitively, you know, from the beginning. And one of the things I learned is like how well I am able to communicate to my children without words, and how deep a relationship we have, deeper than, you know, almost really any relationship in my life that I've ever had, with so few words. And it made me realize that on a very basic human level, it really is about how I make them feel. And what we'll dive into a little bit later in this episode, the actions I'm taking to show them that I prioritize them and that they matter to me. And even without words, I'm able to communicate to them and make them feel loved, supported, and important with very few and sometimes no words. And it made me realize how much that human ability to connect and co-regulate surpasses, in my opinion, the ability we have to communicate with language. The way that we make people feel, right? That is the language of the body. That is like the universal human language, because we all have that. And you can't misinterpret that, right? Like, if you feel happy, you feel happy, period, in every language. And I think that's just been like really impactful for me to realize how this applies to all of my relationships, including mine with you and my personal students, my clients in any capacity, my community on social media, my relationship with my children's teachers and friends, and all of that, just like everyone, like how the energy that I bring to the table and the way that I communicate with my body language and the way that I communicate with my actions, most importantly, and the way that I make them feel, that is the most important thing. And that is going to be the deepest form of communication, right? Like that is going to cause a shift within people. That is going to cause people to change their perceptions, to change their beliefs. Like the way I make them feel is going to do that, not in my words. Now, words as we get older are obviously important. I'm speaking to you right now in language, but if my language can make you feel a certain way, that is going to be the most impactful thing. If I'm just giving you a bunch of words that perhaps help you to some degree, like perhaps they help you like do something random, like a task differently in your day, then like, yes, of course, that is helpful and useful to you in some capacity. But if I can make you feel deeply moved, then that is going to cause a subconscious shift. And so I feel like just in having these tiny little people like in my life and observing the way that I communicate with them and being really mindful of how I'm doing that, I've just had this like boom, 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 boom. Like it's how you act and how that makes people feel that is everything. And so less words, less words. I feel like, you know, the more wise you become, the less you're speaking and the more you're thinking about the way you're making people feel with the way you act in your day-to-day life and how you show up, right? In your integrity, and how you communicate to them through making them feel. And so what does that mean? And like, what does that look like in your day-to-day life? Well, I think just like challenging your relationships, like what do I want to bring to this person, or what do I want to get out of this from a feeling standpoint? Like, how do I want to feel in this situation? How do I want them to feel? And let that guide your actions. And I think what that does is it really gets your actions in alignment with your highest self, right? Because your highest self, if you're asking these questions before you're interacting with people, if you're saying like, hey, how do I want this person to feel? Your highest self is going to want this person to feel, hopefully, happy, inspired, supported, encouraged, whatever it might be. And when you ask yourself that question, your actions automatically start to align. So your words will not only align, but how you treat that person in showing up for them is going to become more aligned with your higher self. And it's going to strengthen your relationships around you so much and help you be someone who helps people feel good, right? And in turn, you will feel good because that's an energy, right? And so that is just such a transformational way to live your life and such an easy way to get in alignment when you think about the impact that you're making, less about the words that you're using and about how you're making people feel instead. So that is one of the lessons that my tiny humans have taught me that has been so profound when I walk into my coaching sessions with my clients or when I'm ready to have time with my children or my husband or whoever it might be, asking myself that question has changed my life. Okay, so that brings me to my second point, which is the intention behind your time matters. And this really ties into that first point because obviously in that first point, I'm talking about like moving forward in your relationships with intention, right? With like the way you want to make someone feel. But the intention is really what like underpins that, right? So I am like a huge fan, like just because like I am a planner and I actually do really believe that like planning is what is going to get you to the space of regulation, not like over like neurotic, inflexible planning, but having a plan of action, right? Like we don't want to be willy-nilly. We want to be intentional about our time. So I personally believe that planning with flexibility is the way to get there. And it has been transformational for me. And one of the things that I do, and mostly like I started to do this just because I'm so busy all the time, but then like it just became so much more of a regulation practice with these lessons that I'd been learning, is I basically sit down on the Friday before like the upcoming week. So like, and like, you know, so what's today? Today's Thursday. Tomorrow's Friday here for me right now. So like, tomorrow I will sit down and plan for the week in advance. So I would like start planning for that Monday onwards. Okay. And what I do is I sit down with my planner and I set my intentions. So many people set their tasks and they want the quick like dopamine hit of checking off a task. And don't get me wrong when I say like, it is useful to lay out what you need to do, of course, like in some capacity. We don't want to forget things, but we don't want to be task-driven people. Task-driven people are not intentional people, right? It's easy to check off a win and spend our days being task-oriented. Check, 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 check. Ah, I did it. Now I can just go relax. That isn't the kind of depth we are wanting when we're talking about regulating for living a rich, healed, fulfilling life. We really need to move forward with intention. So instead of creating my tasks, and trust me when I say, I am someone who has nothing short of a million tasks. So I promise you that if I can do this, you can do this. You guys, I am a business owner. I manage a team of five. I am launching an app and creating a team for that. I run my house as if it were a business. I have two people who work for me in my house. I am a wife. I am a mother to two small children. and I do things for myself as well that require management, right? Like I work out during the week and go to those. Like I have so much going on, you guys. So like if I can do this, I promise you that is just a skill you have to build in order to live your life this way. But it is possible. Planning with intention changes everything. So I sit down and I write my intentions for the week. So my intentions always start with my priorities. And this is a really good way to set up your week so that you don't feel guilty in your week. Like you don't have that like, oh, I should have done this or oh, I should have done that, right? So I basically set, you know, like I want to have this intentional time with my children every single day. So every day is different. I get it. Like some people have a schedule that is the same every day, but it's not for me. I just like don't have that luxury right now with a 3-month-old and a 2-year-old. So I basically go through every day and I start with my priorities. So I say, okay, so this is the time that I'm going to spend with my children on this day. And my intention is this kind of connection, right? So like, for example, tomorrow, like I'm keeping my oldest home from Montessori for a few hours so that I can just be with him outside. My intention is for him to get his feet on the earth after he's had a nourishing breakfast, for us to connect while he's doing some of his favorite things, which include jumping on the trampoline, going down his slide, swinging on his swing, and for me to just like have that time with him, unadulterated, uninterrupted Leo time while Adeline is sleeping. And, you know, if I'm not planning this, I'm probably going to be distracted or doing something, hopping in to check my emails, right, after breakfast, or spending my time making the kitchen spotless so it's ready for the day, or whatever it is that I need to do. But no, my priority for my life is, you know, my children and my husband. So this is the time that I've scheduled it. So I have blocked that time out for tomorrow. Next week or Monday, that might look like a different time, but like that block is going to exist and the intention will always be connection with something else. And I do the same with my husband as well. Now, that's not the only time I have with my son, but when life gets busy and you have another child, sometimes you feel like, wow, it's hard to split my attention, or I feel like I got more time with this child than the other. So it's nice to build in this intention so that life isn't passing you by, and you can apply this to any relationship. Same goes for my husband, you know, like end of the day, once you put the kids to bed, my intention is connection with him. It looks like X, Y, and Z. This is how I want him to feel. This is how I want him to feel supported. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a whole thing with all relationships. So how does it look for work? Well, I have intentions for how I want to impact my business and my employees and my clients and whatever every day. So I put those intentions during my work time. I put my intentions for my health and wellness during my grocery time and my working out time. And that drives my actions, right? So I don't have to be so task driven when my intention is at the forefront. It all falls into place. You also really have much more clarity because you are really balanced in your life, okay? So when you're not just letting life pass you by, because if you do that, you're going to be scrolling on your phone, you're going to be always on the back foot, you're always going to have a million tabs open in your head, you're not really going to be able to think clearly or implement clearly in your day-to-day life. And so moving forward with intention, moving forward with an energy of feeling aligned with your highest self, being aligned with integrity, feeling good about your decisions and your actions helps you not only think clearly, but ultimately, of course, it helps you stay regulated, right? Because you feel safe, because you have this great energy in your life. And so it has been so transformational for me to shift myself more into an intention-based way of living instead of a task-based way of living. And I know that you might be thinking like, well, what do I do with my tasks? I personally do something called a brain dump. So if I have loads of things that need to get done, I just add them to like a little thing where I dump the tasks. And then like every now and again, I'll pop something on my calendar or set a reminder of some intention, which will drive my actions for, you know, whatever needs to get done. So in 2023, we are living a life full of intention. We are thinking about how we want people to feel. Our actions are in alignment with our highest selves, with the impact we want to have on other people, which ultimately impacts ourselves. And this kind of intention and aligned action is highly regulating for the nervous system, is highly safe and highly secure. And when we are more connected to those around us the way we were designed to be, We are so much more regulated. We have lost connection in our society in this day and age when we are so task-oriented, so quick hit dopamine scrolly oriented. And this temptation is honestly sweeping us away when we don't live with intention. So if we are more intentional about our relationships and about listening to the way we feel more than the words that are said, we are going to regulate, right? Because we are not suppressing our feelings. We're not feeling guilty about our actions and we're staying in alignment. So these are such important lessons that have been absolutely game-changing for me. And that brings me to lesson number three. Your cup is so important. And we've heard this saying so many times, like fill your cup so that you can pour into theirs, and or you can't pour from an empty cup or whatever the word is. The temptation to just get everything done and to push yourself to have the tidy house, to get the shopping list, you know, on a specific time, to just do one more email, whatever it is, the temptation to push yourself to the brink, especially as like a high achiever, which I definitely am, is there, especially if you're a mother. And when I reflect on how I want to be as a mother, how I want to make my children feel, how I want to make my husband feel, how I want to make my friends, my clients, and everyone feel, I know without a shadow of a doubt that I cannot have that impact if my cup is empty or even halfway full. And so prioritizing myself, and in relation to like these being lessons I've learned as a mother, prioritizing myself in my cup is essential to me being the kind of mother I want to be. It's not optional. It's not. And it's something that I really learned with Leo, and like I feel really proud of myself to have maintained throughout. And I'm not perfect. No, nobody's perfect. There have been times where it has definitely been harder than others, especially like the really difficult times, like when Adeline first came and I'm like balancing a two-year-old and a newborn, and it's like, how do you even fill your cup when you're literally so sleep deprived? Like, I get it. Obviously, in everything that I teach, I know that you can't do these things all the time perfectly. Like, all we can ever do is our best. We don't want to play the victim. We have to do our best with what we have and know that we will continue to flex and improve, and our life will start to get less chaotic in time. It always does. Our external world is also a reflection of our internal world. So keeping in mind, the more you regulate and the more you find this peace within, the more peace you'll find in your external environment as well. So filling my cup has been something that I have found a way to prioritize so that I can be the kind of mother that I want to be. And it really brings me so much joy when I, you know, am able to reflect upon my day, which I do every day, and like think, wow, I like actually did the things that I wanted to do because I had the bandwidth for it. I invested in myself so much that I was able to pour into them what I wanted. I was able to do my fucking best. And that's all I can do. And for me, you know, growing up was my trauma. Like, it was just, peace was not something that I had. It was such a significant amount of turmoil. And I don't even know if I have a word to put on what it was for me, because stress wouldn't be right. It's not enough. Every single day was so much chaos, like to my core around me, not me, but around me, which ultimately then, of course, massively dysregulated me and resulted in, you know, the story I always share. But I remember growing up feeling like I was trapped in such a chaotic environment, and I couldn't escape it because I was a child and like I had nowhere to go. And even though many times I wanted to run away and escape because I thought I just can't handle it anymore, I knew that I couldn't, because where was I going to go? You know? And so I remember promising myself that one day when I'm a grown up and I'm finally free, I can be somewhere, you know, separate where I can find a way to not live like this. I am going to create a life for my family where peace is at the front and center, where peace is the most important thing. And I think that, like, going through what I went through, going through so much trauma for, you know, 18 years of my life, the first 18 years, like, and really feeling what the stark contrast of peace is, really did something to me, to my core, to actively pursue it with everything in me, which is like why I do what I do now, right? Because it's just like so important to me. But what's even more important to me is giving my children the stark contrast of what I had, because I know what it feels like, and I know the impact that peace could have on a person, especially at a young age. And I'm happy to say that in doing what I've done, in the work that I've done, I've never once yelled at my children. I've never once raised my voice at them, never once. And this is coming from someone who spent the first 18 years raising their voice, fighting back, you know, in the chaos, in the yelling, in such a horrible environment. And so my hope is that not everybody has to go through such a contrast to value that peace in their life, to value the intention of pouring into themselves and regulating themselves so that they can then be co-regulating to other people, so they can then be kind and bring peace and all of that to other people. And so that is why it's so important to me. I try to share on social media what it's like to be a mother who takes time for herself. I'll post myself going to my Pilates reformer Pilates class, my hot yoga class, getting a facial, doing these things to show like, hey, you know, these things are important. These things, like, to me are, these among other things, are reasons why I can be proud of myself at the end of the day, to know that I was able to bring this peace into my family, into my children, into my husband, because of the dedication to fill my cup. Now, there are some other things I do to fill my cup, and I think that my podcasts are kind of peppered with these strategies, but just like some quick wins here are, every morning when I wake up, I do a meditation. This meditation is a gratitude meditation, and my meditations that I do every morning are always a little bit different, and I guess like use this as my opportunity to give you advice on this, as I know, like, pretty much everyone is always like, wait, okay, you know, tell me about this meditation, or tell me about your affirmations, or tell me about like how you do it. So if you don't know already, I have announced this on Instagram, but I'm actually creating an app, and this app is being created or born out of really just so many requests from my students and my community on social media. I have about 500,000 followers across TikTok and Instagram. And the question that I get most often is, you know, Faith, can you like give me a meditation for this? Or if you don't know, I am a certified hypnotherapist and I'm a huge fan of self-hypnosis. This is sort of my claim to fame in both my births. How I was able to have pain-free natural labors was through self-hypnosis. And so I'm a huge fan of self-hypnosis for regulation and healing and all of that good stuff. And it's a really big part of, you know, my personal self-care that I do to fill my cup. And so I started to write some of these meditations, which I love and enjoy so much for myself, and people wanted them for themselves. So I added a few to my membership, which went down really well. My student in my signature group coaching program actually have them downloaded to their phone and listen to them every single day. And they say, we want more, we want more. So boom, the app was born. Regulate is my app that is launching very soon, you guys. And this is exactly what it's going to be. It's an app to regulate your nervous system, to heal your chronic symptoms, you know, fill your cup, and be regulated, right? Be healed. And it is going to be filled with the kinds of meditations and self-hypnosis and affirmations that I have been using over the past few years to heal myself, to stay regulated, to maintain this type of intention, to rewire my subconscious. And you know, I've been writing even more over the past few months based off requests from clients, and it is really fucking good, you guys. Like, this app is such a space for becoming a self-healer. It is such a space to have tangible tools to make this change in your life. And so if you are someone who wants to know how I've been doing it and has, you know, 2 or 3 minutes in your day to pop a meditation on first thing in the morning or before bed, then you can use the link in the show notes to get on the wait list for the app. And I'll send you a message with a special offer if you are on the wait list. The official launch date hasn't been announced, although it is not too far away from now, depending on when you're listening to this. Obviously, if you're listening to this way in the future, we will have the app just linked for you. But right now we are in February 2023 and yeah, we're still in the prep stage. So, you know, I have been listening to affirmations, meditations, or self-hypnosis tracks first thing in the morning now for years. And this is one of the biggest things that has been impactful in me filling my cup and healing. You know, when you first wake up in the morning, you're in something called a theta state. Now, when your brain is in a theta state, it's essentially in between awake and asleep. And this is kind of your superpower as a human being. This is where you can really rewire your subconscious. So this is a time where I do a lot of work. But I also take time to do these meditations, you know, throughout the day if I have other time. But that's one of the, probably I would say the number one most important thing when it comes to regulating for me personally. So yeah, like I said, make sure to click on that link and get yourself on the wait list if you're not already. In the meantime, you can write down some affirmations for yourself and say them out loud, listen to a, you know, meditation on YouTube, whatever you need to do to take advantage of that theta state and not get yourself scrolling on social media first thing in the morning or checking your email or anything like that. The morning is a sacred time for me to connect with my children. When I, you know, have my time with my children, that is filling my cup. When I take that break and set that boundary, that is filling my cup. When I delegate different tasks and chores in my house, that is filling my cup. When, you know, I have a tidy home, that fills my cup. There are lots of different things that for me, I know fill my cup. And because I am intentional with how I want to feel and how I want other people to feel, I'm really aligned in prioritizing those tasks and keeping myself feeling this way. So it's been a really beautiful, smooth flow with, you know, the eye on the prize of peace and regulation, which to me is one and the same, making sure that all of my intentions are aligned, my cup is full, and that ultimately, you know, taking this approach helps you prioritize your cup being full. Because if you start to feel drained or you start to feel like you're at your wit's end from a nervous system standpoint, if you are moving forward with intention, it makes it really easy to stop, take a minute, and do something for yourself without feeling guilty or like you're letting something fall by the wayside. Because when you have your priorities straight, this really makes all the difference. So it is really a reframe of how you should be spending your time and, you know, what matters most in life. And it's definitely making sure you're as conscious as possible of your actions. Okay. And last but not least, this is something that parenthood teaches everyone. Sleep matters. Now, don't get me wrong. I mentioned this at the beginning of the episode. Like, I am so tired right now. Like, you can only do so much, right? So we sleep train our kids. We do a non-cry it out sleep training approach. It's just what works for us. It does take a long time because it is not cry it out. So it's like, you know, you have to go in and out to make sure your baby isn't upset. But for me, like, this is so important because I know what happens to the nervous system when you become chronically sleep deprived. Now, of course, to some degree, I'm chronically sleep deprived. Like, I still don't sleep through the night. I've got a little baby and I'm nursing. But like, just getting her sleep trained enough to only wake up like theoretically 2 times a night versus what I was doing before has made a huge difference to me. You know, if you live in a state of chronic sleep deprivation and you are releasing cortisol, because that's what happens when you're sleep deprived for so long, and then all of a sudden, like, you have no cortisol left to release and you lead to burnout, this is a chronic stress state. Like, this is chronic dysregulation. And obviously, like, again, I'm not going to sit here and be like, you're screwed because you have a baby, because like, I have 2 babies. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. Last night, Leo was up at 2:30 and didn't go back to sleep. And Adeline was up 3 times. One of the times she was woken by Leo. Like, it is no joke here, you guys. I am tired, but I do my best to prioritize it. the best that I can. We don't play the victim, but we do our best. So one of the things that I did with both children is hired a sleep coach. And this was huge for just like getting them in their own bed and getting them sleeping on their own and putting themselves back to sleep without crying, obviously. And then like just sleep hygiene for myself. So like I prioritize sleep over Netflix. Like I realistically go to bed at 8:30 pretty much every single day, if not 8. And this is why being intentional with my time with my husband is so important, because I know that that means like we don't have a long evening, but also I know I have to sleep to fill my cup, to stay regulated, to continue to pour into the people that matter, to continue to be intentional. I have my priorities straight. So my sleep hygiene, of course, is just like having like rituals and routines around sleep. I do a lot of vagus nerve work before I go to sleep, some visualization, meditations. Of course, I'm including nighttime meditations in my app, so you guys have the tools that I use. Not to worry. I'm not gatekeeping here. But, you know, I do this work before bed. And yeah. I do my best. I have an Oura ring. I think biofeedback is really useful to be able to kind of like analyze how you're sleeping. And I sleep really efficiently. Like I get deep sleep and REM sleep, even though I'm being woken up a lot. And I think, you know, it's because I'm so regulated and I just put so much effort into this work. So I really prioritize it, you know? And even though I'm being woken up a lot, obviously I'm really efficient with my time and I go to bed early, so that cumulatively I'm getting maybe 5 hours or 6 hours. It's not great, but like for someone who's got two babies, it's like, you know, it's the best I can do right now without letting my babies cry it out. And to me that's a value for me, right? So yeah, I think, you know, wherever you're at in your life, if you can sleep, you should, because like sleeping is the most important thing for regulation. Like you have to sleep. You have to sleep to heal, first of all. Like you just have to. There's like no way about it. If you're not sleeping, you should prioritize it. The days of staying up to like get something done or watch Netflix, like don't get me wrong, I love Netflix, but like the days of staying up to do that and sacrificing on your sleep should be behind you. If you are someone who is looking to, you know, regulate to heal essentially, or regulate to optimize. It's a domino effect. Every single thing in your life is going to be optimized when you optimize your sleep. So whatever you need to do to get yourself to that space, I highly recommend evaluating how you're spending your time and you know what your sleep looks like. So those are my lessons that being a mom has taught me about nervous system regulation and ultimately like living in alignment with your highest self and just like living a life that you are proud to live, living a life that when you go to bed at night, you feel good about it, right? Like you've been present, you move forward with intention. And yeah, I just think like that is what we can do in this life to be happy and to have peace, is to bring this intention to the front and center. And, you know, do the best we can without playing the victim. And when you do the best that you can, like truly deep down, you've tried your hardest, you can be proud of yourself. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be you trying your hardest. And that's what matters. I think there's really no such thing as perfect. I think that perfect is doing your best. And so that is the grace that I've given myself. And this is what I've learned. And I hope that, you know, maybe these lessons or these tips and tricks can have an impact in your life. And perhaps there's something that you are not doing yet in your journey to regulate, to heal, and it had some sort of a light bulb moment. And my hope is that it made you feel, you know, like, something clicked for you. Like it gave you a feeling inside, right? Because that's what I hope to do for people. So I hope that that helped you feel amazing. And like I said before, if you are wanting that support with the kind of work that I do for meditating and affirmations and visualizations and self-hypnosis, make sure you get on that wait list, because that introductory offer is going to be bomb. And then you're going to have my meditations at your fingertips morning and night, so that you can stay as regulated as possible. You can become the best, most healed version of yourself. And you can ultimately rewire your subconscious with this work that is not hard, but is definitely about consistency. So that's why having something at your fingertips on a daily basis is so damn important. All right. Thank you so much, guys, for listening to this episode. I hope it was useful. As always, if you found this episode to be useful and you had some takeaways, make sure to take a screenshot and tag me on social media. And of course, most importantly, if you rate and review the podcast, I would totally appreciate that. This content is free long form content, and I never do advertising on my podcast. It is always going to be that healing feeling content. So your ratings and reviews allow me to keep giving out this free information. So it is always appreciated. All right, guys, thanks so much for being here and sending you so much love. Have a good one.